Digital security is obviously a primary priority for any organization, given the massive amounts of data that they all send around the world, the liabilities and limitations of this data as it crosses borders and gets stored, and of course, the perpetual challenge of maintaining the security of that data to make sure it does not fall into the wrong hands. This means the financial services sector, being the bedrock of the global economy, must always be at the forefront of information and communication technology risk management. Its members must carefully balance the need for instantaneous transfer of huge amounts of often time-sensitive data while holding on to a solid and well-thought-out plan for its protection. Even if you are not in the financial services sector, being aware of new regulations, procedures, and their deadlines is everyone's business. So imagine having to get all of this ready and compliant in, oh, say, 8 months? Well, you might have to. I'm Steve Prentice, and this is the Talis Security Sessions Podcast. To help us understand some of the key principles behind ICT, that is Information and Communication Technology Risk Management, it is my pleasure to welcome Mark Hughes, Global Managing Partner, Cybersecurity Services, IBM Consulting, as well as Romain Delorieux, Strategic Partners Director, Global System Integrators at Talis. Mark, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, and it's great to be here. Really looking forward to this conversation on this absolutely critical topic.
And Romain, same thing. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here as well, and thank you for having me.
So to talk about information and communication technology risk management, that is ICT risk management, from a highly practical and pressing perspective, we need to look no further than the Digital Operation Resilience Act, with the acronym DORA, D-O-R-A, which is currently a big new issue for organizations within the global financial sector. Some listeners may be already familiar with it, but there may be others who might confuse this with the DORA 4 metrics from the world of software development, simply because they share the same acronym. So it's probably prudent to start by clarifying what this DORA is, where it comes from, who it applies to, why it is necessary, and of course, its constraints for deployment. With a deadline apparently of January 2025, it seems like organizations don't have much time to get themselves aligned. Romain, may I call on you first for the definition of DORA?
So DORA stands for Digital Operational Resilience Act. It's an EU regulation. So it's a regulation. That means it's a mandate throughout the all countries in the European Union, as well as Iceland and Norway. Where it comes from is the crisis of 2008 of the financial market. And so there was a willingness from the political bodies in Europe to make sure that the financial system, which is the backbone of society, is resilient. And resilient for financial attacks, so there was a financial part, and then resilient as well in terms of infrastructure. So DORA is looking how the operational digital systems used by banks and in a wider way, the financial community at large, so beyond banks, is resilient, is managed properly by the financial entities, and that's what DORA is all about.
Okay, so it's a European Union EU regulation meant to address operational risk in information and communication technology for the reasons that you have just mentioned, and includes risk management, incident reporting, operational resilience testing, and ICT third-party risk monitoring. So Mark, what else do we need to know about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, Romain's done a fantastic summary. The other point I would just make is that it's specifically targeted at the financial services and insurance sectors. And any organization that may be outside the European Union that is interacting with those organizations, for example, is a supplier to them, also has to be DORA compliant as well. So it does extend in that sense. There's really six key areas in it, which we can drill into a bit more. And whilst there are some things in it which I think are quite similar to other frameworks that we're very familiar with in security more broadly, there are some specific things that stand out and that are quite different in terms of additional things that organizations, if they are in those sectors, need to be aware of and need to be prepared for when it actually comes into force, which is the 17th of January, 2025. It's actually been on the books since 23, but the three supervisory authorities which oversee DORA have given organizations the time between 2023 and 17th of January 2025 to get prepared.
Do either of you feel that this is a workable deadline? Because it seems awfully short given how large and broad-reaching it is.
That's probably going to be, like any regulation, a tough call for any organization to follow and to reach as a compliance deadline. Having said that, the European Supervisory Authority, the ESA, Mark just mentioned, will probably also, they are still defining some of the technical standards that are attached to DORA, the so-called RTS, the Regulatory Technical Standards, that have just been released in January. They will be probably turning into a regulation in June. And so they will give some very precise and technical guidelines for organizations to follow. And I think it's fair to say that most of the financial entities today, they have started already to look into DORA. They have defined a roadmap. At least they are starting to assess the impact of DORA, which I think is a very critical point. Mark mentioned five or six different pillars. Some have to do with the management of ICT risks, IT risks in general, which many organizations are doing anyway as part of their, for instance, an ISO 27001 certification, etc. Some parts are related to incident management, which also banks are doing. So it's a question of putting things together, probably filling up the right documentation to be able to report in a proper way. But one thing for sure is that we are 9 months away, and it's probably time to accelerate the program of compliance of DORA.
It's good to hear that many of the practices included within DORA are already established, and that, as you said, it's a question of just putting things together. Mark, if we can start now to drill down into the sections of the Act, what stands out to you as the most pressing?
So Romain has already said ICT risk management. Again, most organizations will have a form of risk management in place because there's other regulatory regimes that need to ensure that organizations have risk management as part of their organization. And in any case, most will have already had for some time an ICT risk management approach. That's not to say that they'll be immediately DORA compliant, but there's a lot that they can draw on in terms of governance within their organization to do that. The area where I suppose there is real focus is around third-party risk management, and specifically the event that Romain specified and also then subsequent events that have happened. You know, none of these things happen in isolation, and increasingly so. And if we take, for example, another non-financial services related incident a couple of years ago, the Colonial Pipeline situation, you can just see how the supply chain and how a piece of a supply chain can have a disproportionate impact on others. So DORA really has this big element of the third party risk management, and not just in terms of conducting assessments, but also the monitoring of those. And as a IT services provider, which is what I do, we are already getting a lot of inquiries. As Romain said, it's only 9 months to go in terms of organizations, financial services organizations, really getting into talking about how they are going to conduct that monitoring of the risk that we will have potentially on their behalf.
What other sections stand out to you?
The other area, digital operational resilience testing, which is again something that is being defined. The RTS is regulatory technical standards that Romain referred to. Again, that's shaping up, and that's another area. Incident reporting, there's been some useful documentation that's appeared recently on that about the definition around critical services and therefore the reporting that actually needs to happen. Information sharing still in there, and again, more to be defined around what that actually means. But in essentially very high level, it's about exchanging information on cyber threats. And so DORA specifically points to that. And then the critical third-party providers. So it's the critical ICT element of third-party providers, which is subtly different from the third-party risk management of third parties. As Romain said as well, you know, a lot of those RTSs are still coming through. So in terms of timeline of implementation, you know, it's a bit difficult to be compliant on in January with something that you don't yet have the detail on. But as already been said, it's about that roadmap of getting there, taking what might already be good practice in that particular organization, and then really making sure that the good practice is extended across the supply chain, both from a risk management and from an operational resilience point of view, putting in the testing regimes and then being able to then evidence that into the ESA as we get around to January.
You mentioned Colonial Pipelines as an example of how a piece of a supply chain can have a disproportionate impact on others. And of course, more recently, in North America at least, there are ongoing reverberations around Change Healthcare, a huge cyber attack that has impacted the data of more than one third of all American patients. And even that is just one of hundreds of attacks that succeeded due to third-party vendor relationships that sprang a leak somewhere. So back to the pillars of DORA. They look pretty strong, and being an EU initiative, it reminds me somewhat of GDPR in terms of setting a standard that is pretty stringent and influential around the world. Despite the fact that some of the principles within DORA are already in practice within an organization, Romain, what do you see as the primary challenges that companies will face in order to comply and make it work, especially from a leadership standpoint, and maybe even extending this beyond DORA to other regional or global security initiatives that non-financial sector organizations might face? What kind of challenges are senior decision makers now looking at?
I think probably the number one issue is always the money. So it's a question of a budget. And so the usual discussions around the DORA compliance starts, as we speak in these days, with the money and the number of applications. Let's say you have 100 applications in an organization and financial entity, which is probably 1,000, but just for the sake of explanation. It's a question of identifying the key 20-25% of applications that are absolutely essential and critical for that perspective on the business to run. And so if those applications were to stop, the business would go down. So it's a question of identifying that priority list and making sure that there is a resilience plan, both operational and from a security standpoint, on those particular 25%. If that's 25%, if you have the budget for 50, then do 50. But of course, it's a question of identifying the core essential of, applications that needs to run for a business to run. And those, in case of attack, both on resilience or IT security attacks, there need to be a plan so that the service can be restored, for instance, within 2 hours or 3 hours, etc. And that's probably here the top priority discussion as we speak is a question for organization to prioritize the right level of applications. And then after, it's a question of, defining the way the mitigation steps, the so-called technical and organizational structure and mitigation steps and measures that organization financial entities must take. They need to define that reasonably centrally so that they can centralize investments and deploy those investments and those mitigation measures across the different applications today and tomorrow. And if we look at, just as an example, close to my heart at Thales, we do a lot of encryption and cryptographic services, etc. One of the items that is mentioned in the RTS, so we mentioned the regulatory technical specification standard, the new documents from the ESA, is about cryptography and the future of cryptography. So things like quantum cryptography, which is coming up, it's already scheduled in the RTS that whatever systems is defined today to do some mitigations should still be evolving to be capable of addressing new threats of tomorrow as well.
Yes, and tomorrow is awfully close. It's more than just a metaphor to say that, and quantum computing is a perfect example of this. It's often referred to as a technology of tomorrow, but the truth is, it is here now. So clearly, one of the key components of DORA is its focus on protecting the data within the whole supply chain, as you highlighted, Mark, just a few minutes ago. Is the inclusion of the supply chain into its rules a relatively new development? I mean, we can easily recognize that every organization has a supply chain of some sort, and recent stories such as COVID-related delays in manufacturing and container ships having accidents in the physical supply chain pinch points like the Suez Canal and most recently in Baltimore, this shines a light on the sometimes precarious nature of a physical supply chain. But in terms of focusing on the supply chain as a central part of the protections that DORA delivers or imposes, what are your thoughts about this? Is it new?
I think it's not new. We've all known that these independencies exist. And actually, one of the challenges that Romain was just pointing to was getting to that understanding of what the critical applications are and the dependencies within that, where increasingly a lot of the applications that we use are SaaS-based applications, for example. They're immediately, there's a supply chain element to it that has to be considered. So I don't think this is new in terms of understanding. In terms of regulation and being very specific around this, I think it's the most comprehensive so far, and not really too soon, if you ask me, actually. This has been something which we needed to take and pay a lot more attention to, and having a framework to pay attention to it, the way in which the RTSs lay out is a pretty good thing. Obviously, there'll be teething problems on how this actually works. There'll always be the things that won't necessarily immediately become apparent to start with. But just going through the exercise, through that, the designation within DORA of the risk management approach into the supply chain and making it something that goes beyond simply asking questions to then actually evidencing and looking for, you know, in a structured way, evidence and ongoing evidence that the controls are in place, and not only in the supplier, but the suppliers, more to the point, down the supply chain, because quite often, you know, we're talking about multiple hops in the supply chain. So I think all of those things are, you know, come not really a moment too soon in some respects, in terms of making sure that organizations are really mindful of the interdependencies they have in the third party space. But the approach here is about thinking, as Romain was saying, about what are the critical applications and then what are the dependencies within those, as opposed to let's just try and do everything. And I think that's where the approach of DORA, if it's implemented and works and goes in the right way, that's quite powerful. But very specifically, Steve, in the supply chain, I think having the ongoing insight now in a much more rigorous way is going to be a very good thing.
Sticking with shipping for a moment as a clear symbol of the supply chain, my mind always goes back to those ships that fly flags of convenience to circumvent all manner of regulations dealing with workplace safety, emissions and pollution, insurance, and other costly parts of operating a vessel. As a kind of parallel, given that DORA makes it incumbent on individual organizations to be much more stringent about who their vendors actually are, and also to prove the reliability of these vendors, this seems like quite a burden. Other types of wide-ranging based regulations like HIPAA in the US for healthcare, for example, carry that same obligation, but can we not also look beyond statutes to something more commonplace like cloud technology to illustrate just how much organizations depend on their supply chain and how to frame an argument that compliance is more beneficial to participating organizations rather than being, say, another burdensome regulation?
I think the point, there is a benefit of the supply chain as well, which is part of the solution for the resilience is on the supply chain, is to look at supply chain and partners. And so if you look at cloud, because the cloud is probably the elephant in the room when it comes to DORA. When it comes to, especially in Europe, the philosophy of digital sovereignty, it's about resilience. It's about resilience operationally, and it's about resilience in terms of geopolitical risks. So the cloud, from that perspective, is a very front and center. And however, the cloud systems and services can also be an essential part of an operational resilience when it comes to creating a plan and implementing it. Because the cloud obviously is a good way for financial entities to install their applications in a resilient way in terms of service availability, for instance. So it's a question of mitigating the benefit of those operational resilience to the maybe the downside of the fact that those cloud providers, for instance, from a European standpoint, are extraterritorial. They come from usually the US. And so there's a question of geopolitical risks here that is to be managed as well. So it's a question of assessing, you know, the pros and cons of a supply chain, which I think it's probably a sound way to manage a business, to be honest. It's to take decision in the right way. You know, to do the cloud right, and I think it's a good expression from that perspective, because it's a question of mitigating what you get as a benefit and what you potentially lose as a negative side.
Yeah, no, exactly that. Cloud, Steve, being that point of where lots of roads lead to in that public cloud space, and as you say, getting cloud right in the context of this type of regulation is something that we are very, very keen to focus on with our customers. And it's not straightforward. You know, we just sort of had this idea, this notion that cloud is just a ubiquitous thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The extent to which cloud is implemented and used, there are obviously the sovereignty issues, different providers have different approaches to that. So really helping organizations get that right, the way the cloud element provides such a key part of their supply chain is critical.
When GDPR came in, there was a big story about how to export, to transfer data outside of Europe. That was a big topic, and there was something called Schrems II, which came in, which created some particular legal conditions around that, etc. We, at the time, back in 2016, 17, etc., we put a lot on that, on the European philosophy, saying the European are trying to protect themselves, etc., to, for instance, the risk of the US being a single supply of services in IT, etc. But in fact, recently, at the end of February, the White House, as President Biden, has signed an executive order which restricts the ability for US organizations to export data to a certain number of countries. So, you know, we see an evolution as well of the world where there is a realization that digital transformation, cloud adoption at large, has created a new condition in the world and the way organizations are processing data at large, not only personal data, but any type of data. And I think the world has come to a realization that there are some rules that needs to be respected. DORA is probably, as Mark said, a well-advanced text of regulation in that instance, is to really somehow force organizations to realize their responsibility. You know, as an organization, people are accountable for what they're doing. They're handling data, not only personal data, as I said, and it's a question of making sure there is a sense of realization of those responsibilities, I think.
In this discussion, we have been using DORA as the index, if you will, of modernized regulation of ICT risk management. So looking out now beyond the physical borders of the European Union, what can we expect from, let's say, North America or the US-based economy on this side of the planet, but also other economic areas as well? What are they doing, or what should they be doing, to reflect the same degree of proactive defense against vulnerabilities as DORA? What's your perspective, Mark, if I may start with you, on what is happening or what needs to happen in other economic blocks of the world?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, because we've seen the SEC, for example, in the US launching some regulation which came into force last December around instant reporting. Funnily enough, in DORA, there's a piece on instant reporting as well. So, yes, I see a lot of regulation coming downstream, the critical infrastructure piece that the White House recently launched as well. Again, not exactly like for like the same. And sometimes that's difficult for organizations, that there are these merging pieces of regulation. And there's an exercise that needs to be gone through, which says, well, there's this from DORA and there's this from the SEC ruling and there's this. How do they all align? And I have to say, there's an industry emerging around that, because there are very many different pieces of regulation from the blocks, as you call them, Steve, that have emerged and are continuing to emerge. So the straight answer is yes, the SEC and White House rulings around critical infrastructure and reporting, for example, are two very recent and good examples of where that is now happening. And it's not exactly the same, but it's certainly, we see tightening regulation happening. I see in the US more broadly, not just the appetite to have more regulation, but the appetite to enforce is changing as well. You mentioned change. I mentioned colonial. I've seen a real mood change in DC generally over the last year or so around how these regulations are now coming in and how they're going to be enforced as well. And we've seen some examples, some well-publicized examples of where individuals are being increasingly held to account for what they said that they are complying with, and then subsequently being scrutinized as to whether that truly was the case. So there's a lot happening. And yes, I see each different block, so to speak, coming out with variations on the theme of how to improve more broadly. I think DORA, my view, really does bring a lot of it together and lays it out pretty well in quite a mature way. And as opposed to some of the other pieces of regulation legislation that we see coming, which are a bit more piecemeal and therefore are more difficult to say, you know, comprehensively, what's the outcome going to be? But, you know, like with all these things, we have to see where it goes. Some of this is actually quite new. But yeah, various bits of the world are responding in similar but ever so slightly different ways.
Well, one thing you can say about the current US administration, they have been sort of popping out agencies like puppies in the last 4 years, in a good way. Hopefully they will stay. But you know, when you look at CISA and all the other agencies, I think that to extend the metaphor a little bit, the tail wags the dog for the rest of the planet, perhaps. But the US, of course, is not the only dog, especially when we think about the Chinese mega economy in terms of what they are doing and how they interact with data and infrastructure. So what have you seen in other countries and economies? Romain?
So to relate to the question of the international stuff, I had some good interaction with Japan. I was in Japan in December, and then I had the pleasure to meet with Minister Kono, who's the Minister of Digital Transformation of Japan, in January. Japan is also looking very carefully at sovereignty, how to create an environment for cloud services. The digital agency, the so-called digital agency, is looking at that, and they are starting to regulate as well. So I think we see that as well going way beyond Europe. We mentioned the US a little bit. I was at an event on DORA 2 weeks ago, and there were talks about the G20 having some initiative as well, inspired somehow by DORA, to see how we can make things in a wider audience kind of thing, because the banks Most of the banks are big. They are international as well. They operate in all the G20 countries precisely. So they don't want to replicate, as Mark said, different compliance programs that are sometimes not exactly implemented the same way. So I think that in terms of the international spread, as we saw for GDPR, the trend is set today to create something similar. The second point you mentioned, Steve, at the beginning of the discussion, NIS2 and other type of regulation that are coming up. I think it's interesting to realize that only recently, a couple of months ago, actually NIS2 for organizations that are regulated by DORA, NIS2 mentioned that DORA is the so-called legal act to implement NIS2. So we see also a convergence of the different compliance framework so that they are coherent. I think that's an important point. I think the political bodies in Europe have realized that just stacking up things that doesn't actually serve the purpose because people don't have time to implement everything. So they start to have a key strong focus on making sure that things are coherent, which is good as well to remember. And I think as a way to highlight for me the key takeaways from a DORA regulation standpoint, as we said, there are five pillars. One is about information sharing. One is about testing. So those things are quite evident. The three other pillars is really about ICT risk management. It's about third party risk management, which we mentioned extensively today. And it's about reporting and managing incidents. And I think that is a good foundation for any organization. When they are migrating stuff to the cloud, for instance, they need to protect their assets in the cloud. Because of the third party risks, they need to protect the data themselves, independently from what the cloud provider is doing as well. So that there is some kind of like a data lake and a control lake to talk specifically and technically. And then the reporting, well, I think that's good. It's forcing the industry to harmonize the way they report. And so therefore all of us, the ecosystem, the technical ecosystem, et cetera, will have to adapt as well and making sure that we are offering financial entities some good services and good products from our perspective. To do it in a coherent way and an easy way.
Let me conclude by asking you both what advice you would have to give to our listeners who, again, may be in decision-making roles, whether in management or on the technology side. What advice can you offer regarding keeping pace with DORA, but in a broader sense with the protection of their own digital assets, regardless of industry? Mark, may I start with you?
My top piece of advice is, like any piece of regulation that comes along, see it as an opportunity. And it can easily not be seen as an opportunity. But my advice is look at it as an opportunity. Firstly, to do what it says. So spend the time going through the risk management approach and look at the different aspects of it to get it right. There's always room for improvement. But more importantly than that, use that then as an opportunity through the governance mechanism of whichever organization that you happen to be with to then secure budget, raise awareness, make sure that the risk register of the overall organization reflects that there is a requirement now that will be a statutory requirement as of January, and that the right attention is paid for it at the right level in the organization. So that would be my first thing, use it as an opportunity. And secondly, use it as an opportunity within the supply chain. We've talked a lot about the supply chain today. By having that level of interaction, now almost being forced to have that level of interaction, I think that's a fantastic opportunity to look at where those risks are and then be able to see, is the mitigation really happening all the way through down into what has often just been seen as a thing like cloud. My view is use DORA as an opportunity to drive improvement, secure budget, and keep awareness high on this critical topic.
And Romain, what do you think?
I think I'll jump on Mark's comment now. It's an enabler potentially for cloud services, for cloud migration, for digital transformation at large. Get some help would be the second point. It's potentially complex. There are some good players out there in the ecosystem, whether from a technology standpoint, like Thales, from a service standpoint, some advisory firms are also providing some fantastic frameworks to support organizations to define their plan. So I think that the thing is to get some help from the professional, from the ecosystem, precisely from your supply chain somehow. We are also here. We are also cross-fertilizing all the ideas we see here and there. So it's a good thing to look at. And then from a little touch on the Thales standpoint, there are, again, the chapter 2 is about risk on cybersecurity. One element mentioned in that chapter is the use of cryptography and encryption mechanisms. That's what we do. And then you have the chapter 5, which is to do with third-party providers. So when you are coming to the cloud, then you have to manage this cryptography and this encryption mechanisms yourself to protect your data and your assets in the cloud. We can definitely help you with that. And we work together with DXC to provide that as a package, as a managed service, if you like, to organizations willing to do so. So that would be my advice.
Well, I would like to call this a masterclass in preparing a mindset towards modernizing information and communication technology risk management. We can use DORA as a model for any industry, but at the same time, it's a very real part of everyone's future, certainly for those in the financial sector, but equally for those in other sectors who really cannot help but interact with suppliers and partners in finance. I certainly appreciate your wisdom and experience, both of you, in explaining these challenges so directly. Romain Delorieux, Strategic Partner, Director of Global System Integrators at Thales, thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Mark, as well, for joining us. That was a great discussion, great insight. So took great pleasure to it. So thank you.
Mark Hughes, Global Managing Partner, Cybersecurity Services, IBM Consulting, thank you as well.
It's been an absolutely amazing few minutes that we've had together today, just to really have teased out these key topics. Romain, thank you so much. And Steve, it's been an excellent few minutes, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Remember, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or all of them about the Thales Security Sessions podcast. We will be back again soon with another episode and another discussion on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. Until then, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.